What's up, you guys? I'm Haley.
And I'm Andrea.
And this is Inhuman, a true crime podcast. Welcome back. Happy Thursday if you are listening to this on the day that it comes out. Otherwise, happy Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, whenever you're listening.
Yes.
You are having a good week or day or whatever it may be when you are listening to this.
We just hope you're having a great life, just in general. We just hope your life is going so well and just good thoughts, happy energy, all the above.
Agreed. Everything she said. Oh, today we are going to be talking about a cold case that was solved last year. If you guys are on our Patreon, then you would have seen or heard or watched if you saw the video episode for January, I covered a cold case that was also solved in 2023, and I've just been on a kick of cold cases. I've been doing a series on TikTok where I've covered very high level, cold cases that were solved. And I kind of just shared the very vague details.
Like an overview.
Right. And this is one that I discovered while doing that series, but I was like, wait, I need to know more. I was like, yeah. I can't just leave it at this.
Right.
So I dove into it, and it's kind of a roller coaster of a story. And it's kind of confusing why it was solved now and not back when it happened.
Oh, geez.
Because this was not a genealogical DNA evidence, and it wasn't even a advanced DNA technology leading to the killer. But I also found the 39-page criminal complaint that was filed in November of 2023 with all of the information about the initial investigation and the reinvestigation. So there's a lot here. And
I'm excited. Not excited ooh, but yeah, excited that there's all these details. And
Yeah. It's a roller coaster of a story. So let's just dive into it.
Okay.
The morning of December 12, 1985 was a completely normal day for 45-year-old Yvonne Mankey. She got up, got ready for work, and around 6:15 a.m., she told her daughter that she lived with in an apartment complex in St. Croix Falls, Wisconsin, that she was heading outside to warm up her car. So for me, this is something that I didn't know was a thing until I went to Indiana. So I just want to explain it in case other people don't know why you would do this. But if you live somewhere cold, you need to go warm up your car so that it can run well.
Yeah.
Because it's really cold out.
Yeah.
So
because the engine runs more efficiently if it's been warmed up.
Yeah. And if you're anything my husband or have somebody my husband in your life, you'll warm up your car
regardless
even when it's 75 degrees and sunny in California. But
I just a general a good general rule to do,
it probably is. But sometimes I don't have the patience for it, but I just wanted to mention it because before I went to Indiana, I would have been why was she going to warm up her car? I probably could have figured it out, but I just wanted to mention that. So, middle of winter, it was cold. She went outside to warm up her car.
Okay. Where is this again? Did you mention that?
St. Croix Falls, Wisconsin.
Okay. Oh, yeah. So real cold.
Real
cold.
So she headed down the apartment stairs and her daughter was in the apartment. And while her mother was outside, her daughter heard what she later described as a whip-like noise. She initially thought it could be a gunshot, so she looked out the window of the apartment but didn't see anything. She then heard a second whip-like noise or potential gunshot, so she tried to look out another window, but that one was too frosted, so she went to the bathroom window, and that's when she saw a person walking away from the apartment.
Okay.
So this person was wearing a gray dress coat, a scarf, and a stocking cap. And again, this was the dead of winter, so it's not odd that this person's wearing like a coat, scarf, hat.
Right.
But she did find it kind of odd that the person was walking and then started jogging.
Okay. So like in a hurry, but not going to their vehicle necessarily.
Right.
Okay.
So at 6:21 a.m., the daughter called her sister, who lived nearby, asking to have her husband come over because, quote, mom went down to start her car and she hasn't come back yet. So the sister put down the phone to, like, go wake up her husband. And then when she came back, her sister told her that she had seen someone running down the alley. So this was this person walking slash running away.
Okay.
The call got disconnected and the second sister called the first sister back, and the first sister said that she thought someone had shot their mom. So the second sister said, here's the number to the police department. Call them right now.
Wow.
So the daughter who lived with Yvonne, the first sister, they're not named, so hopefully this doesn't get too confusing.
Okay.
But the daughter who lived with Yvonne then called the police to report what she had seen. And she told the dispatcher that she couldn't see her mom, but she could see her mom's car and she could see that it was not running. So Yvonne clearly hadn't like made it to the car. At 6:31 a.m., Officer Mike Severson and Deputy David Lindholm arrived at the apartment building. And when they went to investigate, at the bottom of the stairway was Yvonne. She had been shot. There was a pool of blood under her that was still liquid, so it hadn't yet started to freeze or like gel up. So that indicated that it had happened recently.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, she was no longer alive. Mm. Yvonne's autopsy showed that she was shot 3 times with a .22 caliber gun. The trajectory of the bullets in her body showed that she was shot while she was basically walking down the stairs. So half of her body was still on the bottom 2 stairs.
Oh, so somebody likely came up behind her from inside the building?
No. So she was shot straight on, but she was still on the stairs. Like she hadn't made it all the way down.
Okay. Gotcha.
And it was before she had gone out to the car because she was still walking down the stairs.
Right. And she was like in like half in the building or in the building, but not
half on the stairs.
Yeah. Half on the stairs.
Yep. So her cause of death was ruled to be blood loss from the gunshot wounds, and her manner of death was ruled to be homicide. She had been murdered, and investigators immediately did believe that it was targeted and not random. But they didn't know who would do this to Yvonne. And unfortunately, there was not a lot of evidence from the crime scene. So the only piece of real evidence was a boot print left in the snow leading away from the crime scene. So a cast of that print was taken. But again, this is winter in Wisconsin. So like
everybody's wearing boots. Yeah. And then I guess the daughter told them like she saw someone potentially could be the person. Okay.
Before we get to that, the boot print, there was a cast of it taken and it was determined to be from the brand Arctic Cat. And they later actually spoke with the person, I think the head of the company or somebody like high up in the company. And the boots were not super rare.
Okay.
They had a scent tracking canine come to investigate pretty shortly after the murder, and the canine tracked a scent from the crime scene through the alley, which is where the daughter saw the person going, and around a snowbank, and that's where they found the boot print. The scent was then tracked a block further down, where they found more boot prints that indicated that the person had gotten into a vehicle, and the scent also stopped there.
Okay.
So this was also consistent with the first daughter's account of seeing the suspect like going down the alley and then starting to run, likely towards that vehicle. So on top of the boot print, Yvonne's daughter's witness account was really the only evidence that they had. Unfortunately, she couldn't identify the person because she hadn't seen their face, and there was nothing really distinguishing about them to be able to say, like, yeah, I think it was this person.
Right, because, I mean, they had a hat and a jacket, so even if they had long hair, it could be tucked away in their jacket.
And a scarf. They were wearing a scarf.
And a scarf,
too,
yeah. So,
yeah.
Could she tell if it was male or female, at least? She couldn't. I feel like you can kind of, okay.
Yeah, she couldn't, unfortunately.
Okay.
She told investigators that when she first saw the suspect, they were standing behind Yvonne's car in the parking lot. But then they began to walk away. And she also recalled that the suspect was holding a paper bag with handles. And at one point, they switched to holding the bag with the other hand right before they started to jog.
Oh.
And then finally, she told them that she did notice that they glanced over their shoulder to look back kind of towards the apartment. So it definitely seems like this was the person who had shot Yvonne.
Yeah.
She also told police that the day or two before her mother's murder, she believed it was December 10th, so 2 days before, someone had called the phone line in their apartment looking for Yvonne. So she was the one that had picked up and her mother wasn't home. So when she said, you know, she's not here right now, the caller asked what time she typically would leave for work in the mornings.
That's weird.
Yeah. So it was kind of weird, but she just figured it was somebody that, like, a mom, her mom's friend, or like somebody that just wanted to like chat with her or something. Yeah. So she told them 6:40 to 6:45, and the caller said, okay. And then said, I'll try to get a hold of Yvonne this evening. Like, I'll call back later. And then before the daughter could ask who the caller was to, you know, be able to say like, hey mom, so-and-so called, the call ended. So she didn't know who this caller was. And she would later tell investigators that she felt guilty that she had provided that information to a stranger. But it's, like, so frustrating because how could she have known?
Yeah. I mean, especially because, you know, it was so long ago. I feel like nowadays people are more hyper-vigilant, hyper-aware of, like,
yeah,
those little details. But, like, back then people, you know, people were more trusting. It was just how it was. So,
yeah,
like, that was, like, that's weird because, like, I would be like, what the fuck? Why do you want to know what time my mom's leaving for work? But, you know, that's just
back
was
then,
a different dynamic
and
back
she probably
then.
Just thought, you know, there's not like caller ID. So she probably just thought like, oh, it's just like my mom's friend that wants to meet up with her.
And she's
or,
like,
you know,
young,
like,
right? She's like,
yeah. Well, yeah, she, I think, was like a like either 20s. Teenager or early 20s. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, you just don't necessarily think about like, oh, that's weird. Yeah. Let's not give that information out. Like, what are they going to do with that? But now you know.
Yeah.
Hindsight's 2020. Yeah.
So, yeah. But it's not her fault. She couldn't have known.
Yeah.
Now, the main suspect early on was Yvonne's boyfriend, of course.
Mm-hmm.
His name was Jack Owen, and another one of Yvonne's daughters told investigators that Jack had a, quote, roving eye.
What?
So when interviewed, this daughter told investigators that Jack and her mother kind of had an off and on relationship because of Jack's involvement with other women.
Mm.
So she told them that she knew Jack had been romantically involved with other women, including a woman that she only knew as Mary Jo. She didn't know their last name. Or her last name, but she did know that Jack and Yvonne's relationship had problems because of Mary Jo.
Okay.
So police brought Jack Owen in for an interview and, of course, first asked, like, where were you the morning of December 12th? And he said that that day he had woken up around 6 a.m. He had done some chores outside, then gone back to sleep. I'm guessing, this is just me guessing, but like, you know, like maybe farm or like, you know, like those types of chores.
Shovel snow, like, or something. I don't know.
Yeah,
I was thinking
exactly.
Like, it's probably freezing. So like what, yeah, what chores is he doing outside? But yeah.
But like if you have like chickens or anything like that, you got to go take care of them no matter the weather. So.
Right.
So yeah, he said he did some chores outside and then he went back to sleep. And then later that morning he woke up and he went to the bank. And when he was at the bank, an employee offered their condolences. And that's when he learned what had happened to his girlfriend.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Isn't
that
awful?
In the world? That's super fast spreading news, first of all.
Well, and the murder happened at around 6:30 a.m. And this was like 11 o'clock by the time he went to the bank. And St. Croix Falls was not like a super large town. So it's not that surprising. But yeah. How terrible is that? Like, that's how you find out. It's so hard to imagine now, because now we have like social media and access to the news on our phones, like literally in our pockets. But back then it wasn't like that. So unless you're sitting down watching the news on TV and they're already reporting on a story, how else are you going to know? Like,
and obviously he wasn't home.
Yeah.
So.
And so if investigators tried to call him, he couldn't have been reached because he wasn't home.
Yeah. Crazy.
So he obviously was distraught. And when he was brought in, he told investigators this story about what happened that day. And then he said that he had last seen Yvonne the night before at his birthday party at his father's house. Oh my gosh.
That's so sad.
And he said that night, everything seemed normal. She left around 10:45 p.m. And he called her apartment shortly after and spoke with her daughter to confirm that Yvonne had made it home safely. Mm. Jack was also asked about Mary Jo, and he told them that her last name was Lunsman. So Mary Jo Lunsman. And he told investigators that while he had at one point been romantically involved with both her and Yvonne at the same time, his romantic relationship with Mary Jo had ended and he hadn't seen her in several weeks. So he basically said they were still friends, mostly because they both had an interest in horses. And so they kind of would like ride together or, you know, take care of horses together. But they were just friendly and they were no longer involved romantically.
Okay, so maybe I'm putting the cart, was the saying cart before the horse, but that could be motive.
Yeah.
For somebody, you know, woman scorned and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So naturally, police next went to speak with Mary Jo Lunsman. So she told police that she hadn't been in a relationship with Jack for a romantic relationship with Jack for 3 years. But like he said, they were still friends.
Oh, okay.
She said that on the morning of December 12th, she woke up around 7 a.m., did some chores, then ran errands. A witness who was friends with Mary Jo told investigators that she was the one to tell Mary Jo the news about Yvonne's death on December 12th. So she said that she had called Mary Jo that morning at the bank that Mary Jo worked at, but was told that Mary Jo had taken the day off. Apparently, she later learned it was to go do some Christmas shopping because this is, you know, early December. So when she couldn't reach Mary Jo, she called her house and she spoke to her, and that's when she told Mary Jo what happened to Yvonne. And this witness said that Mary Jo had seemed surprised to hear the news.
Okay.
In her interview, Mary Jo told investigators that she had last seen Jack at her home on December 10th, 2 days before the murder, when he briefly stopped by. But prior to that, she had last seen him at a horse show in November. So while Jack hadn't mentioned that December 10th meetup, Mary Jo said that that happened, but then said before that it was a month earlier, and that lined up with Jack's story.
Okay. But weird that he didn't mention.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is kind of weird.
Yeah, a little bit. She also told investigators that she knew of Yvonne, but she never really talked with her face to face. She said that they had talked on the phone years earlier where they had discussed Jack's behavior. And she said it was a good talk because before that, neither one of them knew where the other stood. So she basically was like, a couple years ago, we had a phone call, probably when they found out that Jack was dating both of them.
And she
was
like,
yeah. And she was like, you know, we chatted about him and what was going on and it was a good talk. But like, other than that, we haven't talked and I haven't ever talked to her face to face or like interacted with her or anything like that.
Right. So leaving things that it was civil, etc. Right. Okay.
Exactly. And she said that, quote, if there was a problem in Yvonne and Jack's relationship, it was probably because Jack was unstable and didn't know what he wanted. So, you know, other people are saying like Mary Jo caused problems in their relationship, but she's saying, no, it was because Jack was unstable and didn't know what he wanted. So him maybe wanting me back is what caused their problems.
Right. And it is, I mean, whoever is the person, the center person that's involved with two other people, obviously they're the main issue.
It's their responsibility.
But also, if you know that there's this long-term other woman that he's been seeing exclusively, yeah, quote unquote, you should just kind of step aside, you know, mm-hmm, and let things fall where they fall. I mean, there's,
yeah,
I'm sure there's plenty of other men of eligible bachelors that, yeah, she could have been fancied with.
Yeah. Oh, so also in her interview, she told investigators that she did own a 22 caliber pistol, the same type that killed Yvonne, but she claimed that she had given it to her boyfriend to sell for her. And this was a different boyfriend, not Jack.
So I was like, wait a minute. At this point. Okay.
Well, and they both, yes, said that they hadn't been together romantically, right, for 3 years. So,
all right,
yeah. She also admitted to having a 22 caliber rifle that was still in her possession, but she said she didn't know how to use it. And she said basically her boyfriend would load it for her, and she only used it to, quote, shoot at dogs when they were bothering her horses.
So she does know how to use it.
Right. She's like, I don't know how to use it, but so I think she meant like, I don't know how to like load it.
Load it. Yeah.
Like, I just know how to like pull the trigger and shoot it. Yeah. But I'm like,
okay. I'm getting some, yeah, fishy vibes.
Yeah. So they, investigators spoke to a ton of other people. And this included a paper delivery driver who was at the apartment building and was often accessing the small storage room on the ground level of the apartment building. And he was there that morning. And he said that he had seen a suspect at the apartment building around 6 a.m. on the 12th. And he first saw the person putting something into the garbage can, and he couldn't tell if the person was male or female, but said that they had a winter coat on and that made them seem like a, quote, good-sized person. So that almost makes it seem more like they were male, but also, yeah, like, with winter clothes, I feel like that can really obscure. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he said that he saw the person kind of like hanging out at the ground level, and then he was like making trips back and forth to his car. And at one point, he saw the person walk up the stairs and stay at the top for 10 to 12 minutes. And then after another trip back and forth in his car, the person was no longer standing at the top of the stairs. And then he left. And it's like, looking back, it seems suspicious. Okay. But at the time, you're probably just like, oh, like, it's just a person.
It's an apartment building. Yeah. I mean, people are coming and going all day long, probably.
Exactly.
And I'm trying to get a visual. And I don't know if you know this or not, is the stairwell, like, is it one of the apartments where everything is inside, or is it a stairwell where once you step out of your apartment, you're in the outdoor elements?
So it seems like it was inside. I don't know 100%. It seems like it was inside, okay, but I don't think the outer door was locked. If it was inside, it wasn't, right, like the outer door of the apartment was like a locked where you had to like use a key to get into that before getting,
okay,
into the building.
Right.
But I'm not 100% sure on that.
That would make more sense because that would be like easier to conceal what you're doing if it's like, mm-hmm, inside.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Another person that investigator spoke with said that she knew that Mary Jo was knowledgeable about firearms. This witness also claimed that in the past, Mary Jo had called Yvonne to try to get her to give up Jack. And finally,
no, I'm just go on. Go on.
And finally, she said that she knew Mary Jo, Jack, and Yvonne and believed that Mary Jo was capable of killing Yvonne.
I had a feeling about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So investigators took a pair of boots from Mary Jo's house to compare to the boots to the tread left at the crime scene. According to the criminal complaint, quote, Mary Jo showed them some footwear that she had within her residence. When asked if she had any other boots, Mary Jo stated she did. Mary Jo opened a door and retrieved a pair of Arctic Cat snowmobile boots, size 5. She gave the officers permission to seize the boots.
Okay, that's a tiny foot. Is it size, mm-hmm, 5 women's, I'm assuming?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, because that is a tiny foot. So they would be, I feel like they would have been like, based on this shoe print, this has got to be a woman's foot or,
mm-hmm,
child. I mean, because that's tiny.
Tiny.
I mean, that's like,
yeah.
I mean, yeah. I don't know. I wear an 8, so I feel like my foot's probably big.
Well, I mean, I wear like a 7.5 or an 8. Actually, my feet grew with pregnancy, so I'm more like an 8 now. But yeah, it was small. And according to forensic experts at the Wisconsin Crime Lab, the boots were considered a match for tread pattern, wear pattern, and size for the print left at the crime scene.
Damn. Okay. That's awesome that they can tell all that with a print.
Yeah.
Crazy.
On December 20th, just over a week after Yvonne's murder, Mary Jo was interviewed again by investigators. According to the criminal complaint, quote, Mary Jo advised law enforcement that she had consulted with an attorney and wanted to check with her attorney first, which, you know, that's fine. We always say get an attorney.
Yeah. I mean, yes, but what, she wasn't being like investigated necessarily, right?
No, but I feel like because of the way that they had like interviewed her pretty extensively, taken
gone to her house.
Yeah.
True. So. Okay. Fair. I'll give her that.
Mary Jo was not able to reach her attorney and agreed to answer questions on a limited basis. Mary Jo stated she saw Yvonne Mankey a couple times years ago at a horse show, but had never been formally introduced. Mary Jo said that she would not recognize Yvonne if she met her on the street. Mary Jo acknowledged knowing where Yvonne lived and described her residence as an apartment building with stores under the apartment, adding that the building was next to the fire hall in St. Croix Falls. So she was interviewed again. Other witnesses were interviewed, and it really seemed like everything was pointing to her. But unfortunately, these interviews and, you know, witness statements was not enough to prove that Mary Jo had killed Yvonne. And right. Even the boot print is so circumstantial, and they couldn't even 100% say it was this boot that made the print. They said it matched in, you know, tread and wear and size, but they couldn't say, like, this is definitely the boot that made that exact print.
Right.
So it just wasn't enough evidence. So Mary Jo was never arrested.
That's so crazy.
And there were no other leads, so the case went cold, and it remained cold for the next 36 years.
Damn.
In 2009, there was some reinvestigation, but it ended up going nowhere. But in 2021, Lieutenant Andrew Vitalis and Polk County Investigations Deputy Mark Biller started looking into the case. The criminal complaint said, quote, since the initial investigation was conducted, it was probable that many subjects had learned additional information about the case that may be relevant and not yet reported to law enforcement. Additionally, officers suspected that there were subjects who had been living in the area at the time of the homicide that did not come forward with information for fear of retaliation. So they were basically like, hopefully now that it's been 36 years,
right,
more people will come forward, or maybe there's like more information that people learned in the meantime that can be helpful. They were really hopeful that like this reinvestigation leads to answers. So Vitalis and Biller began interviewing old witnesses to see if they remembered any new information or if they were more willing to share something they may have known but were too scared to share the first time around.
Okay.
So this, of course, included interviewing Mary Jo Lunsman, who now went by Mary Josephine Bailey. Mary Jo told the same story that she did in 1985, saying she woke up that morning, did chores, and then ran errands. She once again claimed that she had not been involved romantically with Jack in years and barely knew Yvonne. While Mary Jo told the same story she had in 1985 or said that she didn't remember all these years later, according to the complaint, quote, Lieutenant Vitalis believed that Mary Jo was not forthcoming with many of her responses during the interview. He indicated that when pressed about certain topics related to the case, Mary Jo responded by saying that she did not remember and attempted to distance herself from the question or transitioned the interview to another topic.
Okay. So this was the more recent interview that he's referencing. Yeah. Okay. Which is fair. I mean, it's been 36 years. She's probably what, in her
80s? Well, she was 80 in 2023.
Holy moly. Okay, wow. Gosh. Yeah.
I mean, Yvonne was 45, so.
Oh, true. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so maybe she doesn't remember things that great.
Yeah, but it also seemed like, according to Lieutenant Vitalis, yeah, that she was kind of like redirecting things or like not wanting to answer questions.
Okay.
Unfortunately, Jack Owen passed away in 2021 before he could be re-interviewed, but they did talk to his widow, and she told investigators that she knew of Mary Jo because Mary Jo had once broken into their home in Montana.
Bitch, are you joking? No. Okay, so, well, that seals the deal for me.
Yeah, so holy she told shit. Police that after she married Jack in 1989, Mary Jo had shown her jealousy several times. And at one point, there was a break-in at their house, and she was sure that it was Mary Jo who had done it because the house had been trashed and photos of her and Jack had obscenities written all over them.
What in the world is wrong with this woman?
Yeah. Unfortunately, Jack's widow never ended up filing a police report after the break-in, so it was never, like, investigated and, like, nobody was charged with the break-in.
What?
Probably, honestly, probably because she was like, this bitch is crazy. I just want to rile her up. Yeah.
True.
Another person re-interviewed in 2021 was Yvonne's son. He told investigators that in the years before his mom's death, she would receive phone calls from a person with a muffled voice asking if Yvonne was there. While the caller was never identified, he said that everyone thought it was Mary Jo who was making the anonymous calls. And he also recalled that Jack had told them not to worry about it.
Easy for you to say, Jack.
Right? Investigators also spoke with that witness that was Mary Jo's friend and the one who told her about Yvonne's death. She said that after thinking about the case over the years, she believes that Mary Jo is the one who killed Yvonne. And then, a little while after this witness was re-interviewed, she contacted authorities to tell them that she remembered something. She remembered that one of Mary Jo's boyfriends had told her that Mary Jo had asked him to burn some of her clothes after the murder. Hmm. When asked about this in 2023, though, Mary Jo claimed she did not remember ever asking him to burn anything for her. And unfortunately, there was no evidence.
Yeah.
Investigators also spoke with the daughter that Yvonne lived with at the time of her murder, and she told them that the phone call asking what time her mom left for work is her worst memory. And like I said earlier, at the time, she thought it was someone her mom knew, but she now believes that that was Mary Jo calling to find out when she'd basically be like an unprotected target.
Right.
In the initial investigation, authorities pulled Mary Jo's phone records to try to prove that she was the one who had called. There were records showing that she had made several one-minute calls to Yvonne's home in the months before the murder, but she denied this and claimed that the only time she spoke with Yvonne on the phone was the year before when they had talked about Jack.
Okay.
It's not clear why this was not pressed harder in the initial investigation, but in 2023, Lieutenant Vitalis pulled all of these phone records.
Yeah.
And they showed that Mary Jo had made 3 one-minute calls to Yvonne on August 17th, September 1st, and November 13th, 1985, so the months before the murder. Mm-hmm. And then Yvonne made a call back to Mary Jo on November 13th, about 20 minutes after Mary Jo had called her. And that was probably because the initial call from Mary Jo was at like 12:15 in the morning. So she probably missed it and then called back to the number, right, not knowing who it was. And it, you know, Mary Jo didn't pick up. But Lieutenant Vitalis asked Mary Jo about the phone calls. Quote, Lieutenant Vitalis states, during the interview on January 25th, 2023, Mary Jo confirmed that she had made a phone call to Yvonne Mankey in roughly 1983, and they discussed their relationships with Jack Owen. Mary Jo discussed another phone call she made to Yvonne's residence approximately 1 year before the homicide. Mary Jo knew this because a stallion horse she was familiar with had been sold, and she was working with just her horses at the time. Mary Jo said that she had gone to Jack's farm and was looking for him. She explained that she was supposed to ride that day, but Jack was not there. So she was asked if Yvonne answered the phone when she called, probably because, like, you know, she was looking for Jack. And so she figured I'll call right. his girlfriend. Mary Jo said Yvonne answered and she asked for Jack. Mary Jo said she knew Yvonne had children at the time, but was not sure if they were living with her. When asked if it was a long conversation, Mary Jo said Jack told her it was raining at his place, so he left. Mary Jo said she told Jack that it was not raining at her place, so she came to ride. Mary Jo said that she told Jack it was okay, and that was basically the extent of the conversation. So basically, she admitted to, like, talking or calling Yvonne's home one more time. But this still doesn't explain all of those one-minute calls.
No.
In her January 2023 interview, Lieutenant Vitalis also spoke with Mary Jo about the boot prints. Quote, Lieutenant Vitalis informed Mary Jo that because of the advancement of technology, there were some additional factors that have aided the case investigation. Lieutenant Vitalis mentioned the Arctic Cat boots that law enforcement recovered from Mary Jo's residence shortly after the homicide. When asked if she remembered that pair of boots, she stated that she had many pairs of boots, 3 to 4 pairs, and did not remember turning over the boots to law enforcement. Which, like, I know memory can, like, be so, it's different for everyone, but, like, you don't remember giving law enforcement a pair yeah. of boots when you were being investigated for a murder?
Yeah, I feel like you're more inclined to remember something like that because of the state of, like, importance.
What was going on. I mean, it goes yeah. back to, like, season one of Serial, the podcast. And if you haven't listened to that, go listen. But they talk yes. all about, like, memory and how if it's a random day, you're not going to remember things. But if there's a big event like a murder,
yeah,
you're going to remember it. So true. That just, to me, I'm like, you really don't remember it. But again, she's 80. Maybe she doesn't remember.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah. But Lieutenant Vitalis informed Mary Jo that based on the lab results, there was a strong degree of confidence that her boots matched the footprints left at the scene. When asked to explain that, Mary Jo asked if someone else could have a similar boot size, and that could explain why the print was at the scene. Lieutenant Vitalis informed Mary Jo that based on the report, there was a high degree of probability it was her boots, and the analysis had to do more than the sizing of her foot, including wear pattern on the bottom of the boots.
Yeah.
After hearing that, Mary Jo asked if the print was, quote, right there and, quote, right at her place, and Lieutenant Vitalis told Mary Jo it was near the body in the alleyway where a suspect was last seen walking. After hearing that, Mary Jo made reference to law enforcement also taking her gray coat and telling her that the suspect was wearing a gray coat.
So she remembered that, but not the boots.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, she's 80. Whatever.
Yeah. And when asked to offer an explanation as to why the prints were deemed to be consistent with her boots, Mary Jo said she was not sure, that someone else had boots like hers and they were not from her. And then finally, there was a note found inside Yvonne's purse. Quote, during the first week of February 2023, Lieutenant Vitalis began reviewing some of the notes and documents recovered by law enforcement on the day of Yvonne's homicide. Lieutenant Vitalis says law enforcement recovered a paper containing what appeared to be a printed license plate number from Yvonne Mankey's purse. The phrase Touch of Class and the initials MJL were printed on the paper. So Lieutenant Vitalis contacted Yvonne's daughter to ask her about the note, and she said she didn't know what the words meant, but she did say that the penmanship on the note matched her mom's handwriting.
Okay.
Lieutenant Vitalis also spoke with Mark Biller, who was the other, like, main investigator on this reinvestigation, and he advised that Touch of Class was written on the truck bug screen / brush guard that Mary Jo was operating back then. So let me backtrack. Mark Biller spoke in the reinvestigation with Mary Jo's friend, that same witness that told her about the murder.
Right. That is now convinced
that she killed her.
She's guilty. Yep. Right. Okay.
Asked her about the Touch of Class, and she said that that was written on the, like, truck bug screen.
Oh.
of the car that Mary Jo drove.
Okay.
So basically, they're thinking that because there was like a license plate number, touch of class, and MJL, for some reason, Yvonne had written this down on a piece of paper, possibly because the car had been maybe following her.
Stalking her. She had seen it a lot.
Yeah. And she didn't necessarily know that was Mary Jo's car. She might have inferred because of she wrote MJL, and we don't know if the MJL was like somewhere on the car or if she just wrote that as like a note to herself, but clearly there was some sort of connection
there. Yeah. Whoa.
So in January 2023, Mary Jo had that, you know, new interview where she was asked about the boot prints and she was asked about the guns and her original story and all kinds of stuff. And during this interview, she was told that she was possibly going to be charged with Yvonne's murder. Mm-hmm. Don't ask me why. I do not understand why they were like, hey, you might get charged. I don't know. And interestingly,
they released her after? Did they release her after that?
Yeah.
Okay.
And interestingly, that same day, she sent a series of Facebook messengers to a Facebook contact only identified in the complaint as JW. And Lieutenant Vitalis said that several of the messages were photos of her passport.
Like, get me a fake passport and get me the fuck out of this country.
Mm-hmm. God. Thankfully, that didn't happen, but yeah. So the reinvestigation lasted about 2 years and consisted of many, many interviews with all of the original witnesses that were still alive, asking them about their original statements and more about Mary Jo, her relationship with Jack, and her possible involvement in Yvonne's murder.
Imagine being like 80 years old, you're just like chilling at home with your grandkids, great grandkids, and like the police are like, we need you to come back down to the station to talk about Mary Jo, whatever.
That would be wild.
I'd be like, God damn it, really? Like,
I know, like again.
I know, but I mean, I'm glad because obviously the murder needs to get solved first and foremost. Mm-hmm. Like, Yvonne needs justice. Like, gosh. Mm-hmm.
And in the reinvestigation, the theory, which had basically been the main theory from the start of the original investigation, was that Mary Jo had killed Yvonne out of jealousy over Jack Owen's relationship with her.
Which is so now, sick and twisted. Like,
I know. And I want to note that in like a lot of the articles slash in the criminal complaint, they called it a love triangle. But I do not like that because I feel like it implies that Yvonne was like somehow involved, and it's only a triangle because like Jack was dating both of them.
Yeah.
Like they weren't connected at all. So I like that bugged me that that's how it was called. But that's just kind of how they described what was going on. But regardless, there was never enough evidence to arrest Mary Jo. But in 2023, with the new interviews and investigation, the new technology that kind of allowed them to confirm that that boot print was a match to her boots, and this note, investigators finally had enough to arrest Mary Jo.
But still circumstantial, right?
Right. Everything, like technically that boot print is physical, but again, while they are confident that it was her boot print, there wasn't, it's not like DNA evidence or something that's absolutely definitive.
Right.
But finally, after 2 years of reinvestigation and almost 38 years after Yvonne's death, on November 14th, 2023, Mary Josephine Bailey, formerly known as Mary Jo Lunsman, was arrested and charged with first-degree murder. She is now 80 years old and living in Arizona. She was arrested in Maricopa County, and she was arrested there and then was extradited to Wisconsin to face the charges. She was arrested in November, and on December 11th, she appeared in Polk County Circuit Court for a bail bond hearing. She was requesting a $250,000 cash bond, and Judge Daniel Tolan offered a $300 cash bond. According to court records, Mary Jo Bailey was set for a preliminary hearing on December 29th, 2023, but I cannot find any further information about if that preliminary hearing took place, if it was postponed, if she's entered a plea, what's going on in the case. The last updates are from December 25th, basically saying she was granted $300,000 cash bond and the preliminary hearing was set. I cannot find anything else.
Dude, why? And I'm sure it's solely because of how old she was, but why in the fuck are they giving her bond when she literally was trying to get a fake passport?
I know. And it's honestly probably because it's all circumstantial evidence and...
Yeah.
Yeah. But the Polk County Sheriff's Office has said that the investigation into Yvonne Mankey's death is still ongoing, and anyone with any information can contact them at 715-485-8300. Mm. But they are confident that Mary Jo is the one who killed Yvonne, and it seems like they're confident that they have enough to convict her, because otherwise they wouldn't have arrested her.
Yeah. I mean, I'm confident. I was pretty confident pretty early on that it was her. Yeah. Which is like, it's just insane that you would go to such lengths. And then you didn't even end up with him.
No. You like, had another boyfriend and then ended up
poor Yvonne.
And he ended up getting married too. Like,
yeah, like poor Yvonne, like literally lost her life for no reason. Just because of a crazy jealous other woman or whatever.
Yeah. Do you really think that you're going to murder his girlfriend and then he's going to want to be with you? Like, he clearly was going back and forth between relationships. So if he wanted to be with you, he would be with you.
Yeah. He was just having his cake and eating it too. Whatever that means.
Yeah, I don't really understand that, but this is like the right context for that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was going to wait until this case concluded, but who knows how long that could take. Mm-hmm. And Yvonne's story deserves to be out there.
Yeah.
And it's just so frustrating that there was never enough evidence to arrest Mary Jo in 1985, because it seems like everyone, investigators and the public, all knew that she was the one who had murdered Yvonne in cold blood, but there just wasn't enough. So she got to go and live her whole freaking life.
Right. And you know she had to have told somebody over at least one trusted person.
Yeah. It does not seem like she wouldn't have told anyone, but maybe she didn't. And she got to live her whole life, but at least now she has been charged. Hopefully she will be convicted of murder and will have to spend the rest of her miserable life in prison. And let me tell you, she looks rough in the shot.
I looked it up a second ago. Yeah, because I was starting to feel like I've heard about this case before. So I wanted to see what Yvonne looked like, which I do recognize her face. And then I was like, oof.
Yeah.
But she doesn't look 80. Rough. Like, she looks rough, but she doesn't look 80. I don't know. True. She looks like an old 60-year-old or something. Like a rough-looking 60-year-old.
I'll share photos of her so you can see how rough she looks. And all I can say is I hope that she has lived like the worst life ever and she's miserable. I'll also share photos of the beautiful Yvonne, because she was so beautiful.
Just classic. She's just
living her life and freaking jealous.
Insecure. Yep. That's terrible. Yeah. That makes me so. I'm like actually mad that.
I know. It's so frustrating.
That's the reason she killed her. Like, that's so stupid for a man. Like, girl, there are so many men out there. Like, where is this? I don't know. I don't get it.
I know. But yeah, that's the story. I will definitely update you guys if and when there's updates in this case. Like, hopefully she will have to face justice before she dies, because she's 80. So, like, you know, she's getting up there. But yeah, it's such a sad case, but I wanted to share it because I wanted Yvonne to be remembered and, you know, at least she hopefully is like about to get justice.
Yeah.
But that's all I have for you guys today. Thank you so much for listening. We will have a brand new case next week. And until then, keep it human.
Bye, guys.